you've undeceived yourselves. You okay? Let's start with the juniors. Go back and that's it.
Christians, but also to become
tonight we'll talk a little bit about personal assessment. If we don't know who we are, where we are, and what the Lord is looking for us to do, we'll never grow. I encourage you, for each of you, it doesn't matter what age you are, to take time once a week. Maybe it's too often for some of you, at least once a month, take a personal time for a personal assessment. How much did you grow from January till March, for example? How much did you grow in knowing and in trusting the Lord? How much did you grow in becoming Christ-like? Because that is the purpose. That is God's desire for us. Okay, you have some notes there. See, I found this verse from Isaiah 64, verse 8. And because I believe, it's on the front page in your notes. I believe that actually we are clay. We are not rock. We like to feel we are rocks, but we are clay. And I'm so glad, because as a clay, you can be molded. You can be transformed. You can be made up in a way that is really pleasing to God. Yes, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, you are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Make it a prayer in your life. And every time when you become a little stubborn, when you don't want to do God's way, make this first. Start walking with the Lord this age. This is great. It's wonderful because they will be protected from many things. You know, they don't realize that. When I was a kid, and I told people that I accepted Christ as my personal Savior in my life, they mocked me. They said, "Elie Stane, he's a Christian." Don't forget, I was living in the communist Romania when being a Christian was like being the not the second. Type of people, citizen. You were the fourth lower level of a Christian, you know. In the beginning I was sad. Why do they treat me like that? I try to be nice, I try to be polite, I try to be helpful to people. And they mocked me. I realized that actually that was a self-defense for because they had fear in their hearts, but they were afraid also to accept Christ as a personal Savior. And I was telling them, I was free to tell them about Christ, and they stopped mocking. Because they realized that every time they mocked me, they helped me to become stronger in my faith. Don't be afraid of being persecuted or mocked, or you're pushed away because you are a Christian. You are stronger than them because your strength is in the Lord. Not in your personality type, or I don't know, your wisdom or smartness. You are not wise. That way you are just not. Okay. But, you know, don't be afraid. Just be a person that shows mercy. Spirituality is not about age. It's not about achievements. How many of you read the Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22? Right? Okay. I have the achievement. I don't know any of you if you did what I did. I read the whole Bible from the first to second grade, in that summer, I read the whole Bible. I was really thirsty for the Word of God. If you can imagine. Since then, I read it many times. But you don't become spiritual because you read the Bible, you take notes, you memorize verses. No, it's not about achievements. It's not about appearance. Some Christians live a double life. They are certain type of people on Sundays or when they meet with other Christians, and they are a different type of people when they are in their workplace or in the world with their unsaved neighbors. It's not about appearance. If you look Christian on Sunday, you are not more spiritual. If you don't look from Sunday to Sunday the same. The Lord doesn't want us to be, to have this schizophrenia. It's schizophrenic to have two types of personalities. You know that? The Lord wants us to be one and the same. From Sunday to Sunday. So, spiritual maturity is not about age, not about achievements, not about appearance. So, let's see what kind of Christian. First of all, we have to realize that some Christians are not mature. Why? And I gave you here, and you have in your papers, especially I left everything from that page, because I want you to pray and to pray over those two lists. and to ask the Lord to help you to understand where you are spiritually. Feeling guilty for missing church then hurting the neighbor. Some people, they feel bad when somebody is asking them, brother or your neighbor. But an immature Christian is the one that feels guilty for missing church. Bible is more important than Jesus. They can talk about different verses in the Bible, but they don't have a personal relationship with Christ. You know that that is possible. To know many passages, but not having a personal relationship with Christ. Sometimes you don't remember some verses. Believe me. It's more often that I like to admit. But having a personal relationship with Christ is the most important thing. Some people, I don't counsel. Marital crisis, family crisis counseling, but also premarital counseling. And usually in premarital counseling, this is how it feels. We have to talk about this. Some young people in our premarital counseling are asking, person I love without sinning. I hate to hear this question because they actually are asking, I would like to sin but not to be punished. Some people have this kind of mentality. When you surf the internet, you sometimes click on certain sites, and after that you change the site. But when you don't think from the very beginning, I refuse to click on those sites. Why you don't? But in my counseling sessions, one of the guys asked me, okay, How do you fight against pornography? And I said, it's very easy. I don't visit pornographical sites. Never. Never. I don't have to. I don't need to. I'm not interested in it. When did you start to do that? When I was a kid. When I was a child. I refused from the very beginning to look on the pornographic sites. I knew that starting to do that, I would become more addicted to it. And he said, for me it's too late. I said, no, it's not too late. For you it's the right time to repent and to stop watching pornographic sites. It's simple as that. When you feel like doing this, go out. Because pornography usually is a sin of you have other sins in the community, but doing this, just close your computer, your laptop, go. Start walking and start praying. That's okay to hold grudge against someone if he or she hurts them bad enough. No, it's not. It's not right. Do you imagine Christ keeping grudge on the people he were fighting against? He was mocking them. They were hitting him. They were beating him up. real Christian would never engage real sinners. Yeah, we have this false sense of holiness. Oh, I don't want to talk with those kind of people. They are so sinners. Now, all of us, we are sinners. Some of us, we are saved sinners. And can you imagine Christ saying, okay, I don't talk with, with Mark because he is a sinner. Mark was one of the people that started following Jesus just because he accepted, Christ accepted to go to his place and to meet him and at this sinner's table. God rests in building, not in a group of people. I'm going to the church and then I will be holy. Now, we have here this environment, a good place where we can become holier. Do you realize that? Because when we started to meet here, we started to meet in His name. And Christ is in our midst. And He's working in us and for us. And another one, Christian maturity is more about how much they know than what they do. Christ is not interested in how much we know. He's interested in who we are. So, let's see what kind of Christian, a mature Christian is. First of all, a mature Christian is a steady Christian. The highs and lows of life do not impact the relationship with God. You don't become holier when you are comfortable and everything is going fine in your life. Your wife loves you and your children is... it's happening. It's okay. No, you don't become holier when things are going in the way you think that is right. You become holier when the things are going harder. Because you need Christ more. Do you think that? Do you think in this way? Mature Christians find value in the quotidian and trivial seasons of life. The normal life without big experiences, without big moments, actually is the normal life. It's regular. Some people become bored because they don't have excitement. I was talking with a couple of people, and they told me, you know what? I have to leave this church. Nothing is happening here. What do you expect? Something extraordinary happened. Yeah. Starting. If you really want something extraordinary, be part of a change agent. Do that. What are you expecting? Oh, those are not doing this. No, you are the one that is refusing to accept that God is working in normal days, not only in extraordinary. Mature Christians are at peace with situations beyond their control. Now we have to be honest with ourselves. As men, we like to be in control. Right? It's not bad. It's part of our makeup. God made us in a certain way to be able to function in very difficult moments, difficult times. But not all the things that are out of our control are bad things. The Lord wants us to learn obedience, to learn dependence, to trust Him and to let Him lead and guide and control things. Mature Christians practice spiritual disciplines on a daily basis. And we will talk about this more tomorrow. They maintain a childlike sense of wonder and awe. Things are normal, but nothing is normal. Everything that is around us, being under God's control, is a mystery. Do you see that? In a normal day, in the normal work day, you see that the Lord is in control and He's helping you in a special way in a certain moment. I was driving from Central Indiana, 5+ hours of driving, and the weather was terrible on the news. It would be a lot of snow, it would be a lot of rain. Guys, I had one of the easiest driving in my life. It's like the Lord was just clearing the road ahead of us. And I was talking with Adriana, my wife, and I said, look how great and how wonderful the Lord is working. Nothing is too slow, just a few flurries. The traffic was so light. Can you imagine that? It's just enjoy the way the Lord works. Nothing is ordinary. In everything, the Lord brings something. His majesty. They do not compare themselves to others. That is a big trap for all people, not only for Christians, but even for Christians, to compare each other. Because when you start comparing the others, it happens two things. First of all, you try to compare with somebody that is lower than you, and that makes you feel good. I'm better than this guy, right? If by any chance you try to compare with somebody that is better than you, or you think that is better than you, you start to envy that person. In both situations, you are in a catch-22 situation. Don't compare with other people. Don't compare yourself with others. They listen to others who have a different viewpoint with the goal of growing and not correcting. We can learn from different people. I realize that actually here we have at least people from at least 2 assemblies, right? From Cedar Rapids and from Tulsa, right? But I would like to know the differences in worship and doctrine in your assemblies. Did you check on each other? Do you know the differences? You know what is wonderful in the other movement? Is no assembly identical with another one. You know that? I teach ecclesiology, I teach church government, and I did research on maybe 500 or 600 assemblies in the world. And each is unique in many aspects. And this is wonderful. This is really, really great, because actually we are complementary to each other. And that is what you have to become open to hear the differences and to accept another point of view. Try to do that. It's in your meetings and in your moments when you talk about the way you see different aspects of the ministry and different aspects of doing God's work. It will be great. You are learning from each other. Mature Christians understand Christianity does not have an on and off switch. You are not Christian tonight and tomorrow, and Sunday will be very tiring to be 3 days Christian. And after that, you turn off the switch and you'll be again party man. Woo-hoo. No. Christianity is a lifestyle, it's a relationship, it's not a religion. Christianity is a personal relationship with the Almighty God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Mature Christians have a sustainable rhythm. Mature Christians are not emotional people. They are steady people. And they show that in the daily walk with the Lord. And at the same time, in their dealing with different aspects of life. Questions up to here? Students to give me their input and tell me what they think. Hey boys, do you have something to ask? Come on. It's no bad question. It is no good answer. Your name is Jonah, right? Or what's your name? Jonah, yeah, okay, tell me. What did you ask your father? Or? Yeah.
Wondering if you should take notes on the back.
Oh, yeah. Guys, that is the place for, this is the thing for, that is the purpose of it. They know this one. Please do so. Yeah. Take notes. Yeah. If you have questions, ask them. Even I have answer for any question. Even I don't know, it's a difference. But I know where to look for the things. Good question. Yeah. Take notes. You know that actually we learn a lot better if we hear, we see, and we take notes. That is the best way to study, to grow and to learn. Do that. It's yours. Brother Neil just made a sacrifice last night and made a lot of copies for everybody to have one and to take notes. Take notes. I know men don't take notes and don't read the directions, right? I know that, yeah, but you should take notes.
Read the Bible when you were in the first grade, you said.
Yeah.
But when you would have read the Romanian Bible, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I didn't speak any Romanian speech then.
Was it difficult to get a Bible in Romanian in those days?
Yes, we had in our home only one Bible. It's my father used to read to all of us each night. we were praying, and after that we went to bed. Bible like this, with a heavy, you know, paper that broke every other year. And my father learned how to put it back together and to have it. But you know what? If you have a Bible that is in shambles, you have a life together. Some people have a Bible very put together, but the life, their life is in shambles. Yes. But we had only one Bible. Well, that I was reading during the morning hours of my students. But I learned to read when I was there, and that helped me to understand a bit more. And if I would start learning to read, I would say.
And in your young life as a baby, was it difficult for anyone to get a Bible?
Yeah, very difficult. Very difficult. This was the reason that actually when I grew up, and I became the editor for the Assemblies magazine, Way of Faith. I organized the underground chain of Bible and Christian literature distribution in Romania. And one of the men was arrested, another one was arrested, and finally they got me. And I was beaten, arrested, beaten, sentenced for 2 years in prison. But after 1 year, Ceausescu, of Romania at that time, gave me personal amnesty because of the international pressure, especially from the US. And that was the way that I was released. I was to come here to the US in 1988. So John Whitehead at that time was the assistant to the Secretary of State. Came to Romania with a list of 14 people to live in this country. Yeah, it happened a long time ago. Many of you who are now never born. Other questions? You to take a couple of minutes and to read the two lists I gave you and to mark each of them that is in you or you are doing it. And after that, please count how many do you have from your cases and how many. Just for you, we don't have to talk about this. I promise I'll never ask anybody where he is on his journey with the Lord. But do that, please. I know if you are not doing it now, you'll never do it. I know that. I teach for many years and I know how people are. You have seven characteristics for the mature Christians and nine characteristics for mature Christians. Think. It is helpful. It helped me a lot to make all these things together. You have numbers? Now, subtract. Numbers. Do you have a positive number or do you have a negative? When you start learning who really are, if we start realizing where is our spiritual base and where we are to walk with them, it is faithful. Because all of us are hearing us, the Spirit of God. That wants to teach us and encourage us and motivate us to become Christ, to have a character, a holy character, to have a, to go, become mature in our faith. If we don't take time to see where we are and who we are, many times we miss the point. I learned to do this when I was very young. One of my mentors told me every time, in every season of your life, take time to see where you were, where you are, and where the Lord wants you to be. That helped me a lot. Because you start to see yourself through God's eyes, to see yourself in a different way than you used to see yourself. Because usually we see ourselves in two ways. Some of us that are very strong-willed, we think that we are better than we are. And others that maybe they had some bad experiences in the young age, and they have a low self-esteem, they think that they are less than they are. Both aspects are bad. This is the reason that we need to see ourselves with God's eyes. And that is the reason that they gave you those characteristics. Let's think. It's just for you, just to become mature and to speed up the maturity process. It can be done. God wants us to grow. Sometimes we sabotage ourselves. We refuse to take His grace, His gifts, and His power, and to let us change us. Okay, let's go to the second part of our evening. Spiritual formation is not evangelism. Some people are saying, okay, we are shaming Christ to people around us. That is not spiritual formation. It's sharing the good news with the people that are dying. And that is great. It's wonderful. But it's not spiritual formation. It's not discipleship. Although some Christians are saying that actually spiritual formation is discipleship. No, spiritual discipleship is learning who Christ is and how to do His things. It's, we learn a lot by, modeling. We look at Christ and say, hey, I want to do this, this, and that because Christ did this. This is discipleship. Spiritual formation is not this. It's the process of being conforming to the image of Christ for the glory of God and for the sake of others. We have here more aspects. First of all, is the image of Christ. The sin distorted our image. You know that we were created in God's image. Imago Dei. Hey, we lost that because of our sinfulness, because of the fall. In the moment when you start this process of spiritual formation, we started to let the Spirit of God restore Imago Dei in us. And that is wonderful. And that is for the glory of God and for the sake of others. We become a model to be followed by people that need models. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. Spiritual formation is an organic, lifelong, and holistic process involving right or ortho, it is in Greek, thinking, right behavior, and right feelings of individuals and communities. The base for spiritual formation is 2 Corinthians 3:18. We all who, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. And we have here 5 things that stand developing his book. Spiritual formation. The first is believers will be transformed into the likeness of Christ. Second, the transformation process is a lifetime ongoing process. It's not an event. Spiritual formation is not a man's retreat. It is a lifelong process. I'm letting, if some of you, you are in this already in this process, but if you are not, I would like you to have this as a starting moment, not just like an event and that's it. A moment when you can start growing in the likeness of Christ. It is Trinitarian in nature, that means God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are working together in transforming us and making us in Christ's image. The Holy Spirit is involved in the transformation process, and God's glory is restored when the above takes place. In our life, in our Christian life, I believe that all of us, we want to show God's glory and to worship Him. We need to be holy vessels. You cannot worship God if you are not clean. You know what happened with the priests in the Old Testament that tried to worship God without being clean? You were killed by fire. You know that? Aaron's sons were killed. The Lord wants us to be holy vessels, to be clean inside and outside, and to live a life that brings good. We have three goals of spiritual formation. The first goal is that believers acquire a Christ-likeness at a personal level. It starts in our room, in prayer and in reading the Word of God, in fasting and in silence, but it also, it becomes a people of God at the community level. Our spirituality is contagious, in a good way or in the bad way. If we are spiritual, in the good way, that we try to be like Christ, our spirituality becomes contagious. People around us look like us. At the same time, if our spirituality is bad, we can bring a lot of damage to the body of Christ. You have a Judges, a very interesting example, one of the leaders of the Israel nation that was stalling and hidden things that were, the Lord asked them to be destroyed. Hid all these things in his tent. No, it's not from that book, but I encourage you to read this book.
Okay.
It's a very easy read, but it's very well organized. It helps you to go to different aspects of your life as a man, and you will see the way the Lord works. It, I enjoyed when I read it one time ago when it came out of me. But I was very, very encouraged, and I said, okay, maybe it is a good read for my friends when they have time. I encourage you to read. Reading is wonderful. Every book you read, you become a new person. You know that? You grow in a different way. It's people. The Lord blessed us with a lot of good people around us that they read and write good things. And it's good for us to know those. It's fine, I know. It doesn't like what I'm saying.
What's the book called?
It's called The Man of the Image. It's Disciplines of the Godly Man.
Oh.
I think they're asking about the tongue.
The tongue.
Oh, tongue. That is a doctoral dissertation written by a Christian from Malaysia on spiritual formation. I had it in my library, in my quest. I thought that you were talking about youths.
Well, right, yeah.
That is a... This is a good one. The other one is just a boring theological dissertation. I have to read those things. I'm done for the night. If you don't have questions, you made me to have a very, very easy evening. Right? So they are asking questions. You start firing them. Okay, what we have here? It's, tomorrow will be a heavy day. We'll talk about relational spirituality, starting at 9:30. From 11, we will talk about paradigm of holistic spirituality. This will be a very long life. I think that will take a little bit. When do we have the lunch? It's 1 o'clock.
In the morning, though, we have at 8 o'clock, there's a devotional at Joel's meeting. 8 o'clock. And then practice at 8:30.
Okay.
And then we'll come here. We'll
come back
for the
first
session.
Okay. You're the scheduler.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because I didn't see that.
Yeah, take the schedule.
Okay. And the lunch, you'll be at
12:30.
12:30. Okay. And that you start at 3 o'clock. Yeah, from 3 to 4 we'll have corporate spirituality. And from 4:30 to 5:30 we'll have different questions and answers. But I think that will be a very short session for us. If you don't have no questions, I don't expect to meet tomorrow.
bless this time and strengthen him for the meetings that we have tomorrow. We pray for those that are still traveling tomorrow morning that they get here safely. Lord, we want to pray for this time that we would make this a time in our lives where we make new commitments to you, or where we decide to pursue you in greater ways in every aspect of our lives. Pray that, Lord, you use this, especially these young men that are here, that you work in their hearts as well. And we thank you for this time. We commit it into your hands. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Good.